Father, thank you that we may come at your throne, and that you may be with Nico, who prepared these words together with you. Oh Lord, that you may bless him so he may speak your words. Will you be with us in this room, that we may listen to him and that we may be touched by the words that you need to share with us. Thank you. I prepared it together with the Lord, but I also prepared it with you and with Adrian. So I wanted to talk about love, but actually we're already finished. If you look at everything we've done, I made a presentation. Sometimes love can be a little stormy. For people who do not know me, I am one of the leadership team in this church, and I want to ask God to be with us and be with me. Lord, through your word, through your Holy Spirit, will you speak through me in the name of Jesus Christ, that the words I speak are not mine, but we have discussed together. Will you feed the words in the hearts of the people, and that the people may understand what I'm trying to say, and that your spirit may open hearts in the name of Jesus. So it's about love. And I right away have a question. All the people that were standing around Marcel, Maybe you haven't introduced each other, and I think you need to ask each other, heb je mij lief? Ask the person that loves you, that sit in beside you, and ask them, do you love me? Ask that to someone you don't really know. And if you find that difficult, and then you may say, welcome, who is Jesus for you? So I say, hi, my name is Nico Smeding, and who is Jesus for you? I see a couple of people that are not used to moving around and asking people. I was afraid it was going to get noisy after this, because that's quite an intimate question. You don't just say that to someone. Now we're going to talk about loving each other. Last year I talked about Romans 12, and I thought God said, try it again, but talk about love, because then you are going to have a different... I talked about Romans 12, and I said you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to be a sacrifice, and you have to love each other, and I felt that God said, say the same thing, but then talk about my love. We are going to talk about Romans 12 again. We talked about the lost son, and that God, as a father, looks out to us when we lose our way and we leave the Father, that he is ready to meet us, or when we want to return. The love of God to us. We talked about Peter and the body of Christ, how together we may be brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may love each other, and that we may also speak together, and that we may mind each other's business, because God wants us to be busy with that. We talked about Lorraine and about thankfulness. When you talk about thankfulness, you talk about love. And when I'm thankful to someone, it's because somebody does something for me, so I'm thankful for that. God gave us creation and all these things that we may be used in our life, and I am thankful for it. Little things, but also big things. I am thankful. Actually, 1 Corinthians 13, it says a whole big piece about love. Even though I was able to speak all the languages of the angels and of the people, and if I could do everything, but I do not have love, then I have nothing. Even if I have the faith and everything, but I do not have love, then I have nothing. Actually, what he says, when you can move mountains of faith, you can do a lot of things if you are in Christ, and you can do a lot of miracles, but if you do not have the love, then you have nothing. It's always about the love. And today I want to talk about love, Romans 12. It says, love each other and serve God through the Holy Spirit. Let's read that together. Romans 12, verse 19 to 13. Let me find it. Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. I need to look it up for a second. Give me a... Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We might have read this a number of times and sat around and thought about it. But there were people that were Jews and they became Christians, but there were also people that were heathens, so they weren't part of a community, and they also became Christians. And Paul wanted to go there, but it didn't work out. So finally, he ended up writing the letter to the Romans. And there are actually four parts in this letter, the letter to the Romans. I missed a little bit about what he said because I was reading, but it has to do with the fact that he wrote a letter to the Romans because at the time he couldn't go there. Romans 1 to 4 is about the news of sin and mercy and faith. It explains the fact that people are sinful, and we need to understand that all people are sinful. There is not one person that can do right. So no matter how hard you try, it will never be enough. You need to understand that sin is something that we all have. You can read this in the first four books of Romans. Romans 5 to 8 is a new chapter of hope, and that Because we know what the law is, the law that Moses had proclaimed to us, we know that we are sinners and that we do wrong things and that we will never be able to make right choices, but we have hope because we are proclaimed righteous through faith. God will make us righteous. We are sinful. That doesn't change, but we will be deemed righteous, so God will see us as righteous. Not that we are righteous or that we can be righteous, but God will look at us in a different light if we ask Him to. Adam and Eve in the paradise were they chose against God. They received in return for this a difficult life because they did not believe in God. God is righteous, and He said, "You didn't believe in me, and now this is the consequence." But God is also a loving God, and He gave them a new chance. Through Jesus, you can be seen as righteous. Jesus came to give us a new life. We are going to be changed because if we decide to start a new life with Jesus, and if we die with Jesus, like in baptism where you go under the water, then you are dead for the sin, for all the wrong things you do, and you will be raised up in a new life. That doesn't mean you'll never sin again, but you will be seen as righteous, and you will start a new life. Like you share in Jesus' death, you are raised up to a new life. It's not a life that leads to death, but a life that leads to eternal life. And we will live with Jesus for eternity. And that is the nicest thing that can happen to us. The third part, he talks to people that are not Jews originally. These people were compared with the people of Israel, the Jews in the Romans. So in 9 to 11, he addresses the issue of not being a Jew and that God's promise was to Israel. The last number of books, or the last number of chapters, in the book of Romans is about how to live as a Christian in practice. So how do you practice Christianity? You changed your life, you left, and now you start again. You saw people that were discussing what it meant to live as a Christian. They had a lot of old traditions and customs, and there were discussions about what it means to be a Christian, and people had questions about that. How to live with your new life as a Christian and what you need to do and do not need to do. An example of this was also the circumcision. Did people still need to be circumcised? We can compare the same thing. There are people in our church today that come from a very traditional background where the law will be read every day. I wasn't allowed to do anything. I had to go to church 2 times and I had a lot of rules. I wasn't allowed to watch TV. I wasn't allowed to go skating or play football on Sunday, and there were a lot of rules. And I think there are people sitting here that think the same thing. I have to do things. may also be people here that never had laws they had to keep to. They could do whatever they wanted. They were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. But both options have things. In a traditional church, you got a lot of teaching about the Bible. And in a free upbringing, you might not know anything about the Bible. So what I tried to say with this is that this letter to the Romans is actually still very relevant for us today. There are words that are important in verse 2. Let your love be true. That your love be sincere. If you look at the word love, however you do that, Wikipedia or any other site, you will see that love is a strong feeling for other people. They have strong feelings. They are happy to see each other. They feel comfortable with each other. They understand each other. They find each other attractive. You can love partners, friends, parents, children, brothers, and sisters. God is not named in this love. And God's love for people or people's love for God. So this, in the context, is the word love that we know. My love for peanut butter is different than the love for my wife, is different than the love for my brother. There are many different types of love. Love for people. You have love for God or God's love. We have love for all living things. We have love for family members. If you need Greek lessons, you know where to go. Love for friends, philia. Love for people we don't know. You can have love for them, freedom. You have romantic love, and that's for people that just know each other, love each other. We have platonic love. We love people, just friendship. And we have sexual love. And that sometimes together with love, romantic love, but sometimes it's completely lost. Love for yourself. Some people say it's very important. Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot love another person. In extreme cases of love for self, you have egotism or you have narcissism. Love for abstracts, your love for art, for example. We also have ritual forms of love. High priests, people that hurt themselves so that they bleed for their religion. We have love for parts or for body parts. And sometimes it becomes a fetish, like love for shoes. We also have love for country. And I'm sure there's more than what I mentioned here. But in Bible, we talk about four types. Agape, agape, storge, philia, and eros. Those are the four types of love that are mentioned in the Bible. In verse 9, it says, agape, agape. It's a talk about a love for everyone. That God works in our hearts. But the warmth of this is from God, and it is very special. And it is mentioned 151 times. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, it speaks about agape. Men need to give their wife the same life, love, like Jesus gave for his church. You can only marry someone if you can give and don't expect to receive. But that is why you marry. You need to offer your love to someone without expecting anything in return. So when people say the marriage has nothing to offer me anymore, then you know when people say that, we break up because my marriage has nothing to offer me. Then they never understood that a marriage is important to receive. I thought this was a beautiful example of shoes. Mother Teresa gave everything for people that were poor. And I was told, and I imagine this is true, that at the end of her life, that she had such misformed feet because she always came with shoes and she always gave the shoes away, and the shoes that she didn't fit, she wore herself. She sacrificed her love for everyone around her. You empty yourself. show this little film when I do my alpha program. When we do, of course, God gave so much more than this person. We have all done things in our life that ruined us, and God loves us, and He gave us His Son. He gave Himself for us to repair things between us and Him. But the only thing you have to do for God is to accept Him. Jesus came to earth so He could show us who God was in love, and He gave us God's love. He healed people. He sent away demons, and He showed us what God's love is. We are on our way to Easter, and during Easter we remember that Jesus was crucified and He suffered. He had to take that route. He was without sin and He was crucified for everything that we have done wrong. The ultimate sacrifice that would redeem us for our Father, that would make all the wrongs right, is the most beautiful thing that ever happened. He sacrificed Himself for us. We love God because He loved us first. In Philippians 2, He who was like God did not stay equal to God, but He left His place and He became a slave, and He was equal to a man. And also, and like a man, He came, and He was, and He listened to God till the dead. He became humbled. He was humbled. And He died a death on His cross. We need to be true. We need to be right. We need to be honest. And our love needs to be sincere. We need to be sincere. A voice in your brain says things. I don't really like that guy, and he looks at it differently, and actually he didn't brush his teeth this morning. Those are all things that I don't really like this person. But the other voice says, look at what Jesus did for us. Love Him with the love of Jesus. And we need to practice that. We need to train it, so that we send away the wrong voice. It's a struggle. A struggle that I have to deal with every day. But Jesus said, all of the people said, crucify Him. And Jesus said, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. And people didn't know what they did. Sometimes you do that. Sometimes you do things that you don't really realize that you do. And then you're ready to say something. It's on the tip of your tongue. And sometimes it already left your mouth. And then you say, God, forgive me because I don't know what I did. It's good to listen to the Holy Spirit. How can your love for another person be sincere? Is it hard to be sincere? Yes, it's difficult. Because with God and the Holy Spirit, it's difficult. We talk about the philia. Verse 10, the love of brothers and sisters, and hold the people more valuable than yourself. So if you have this sacrificial love, let your love be righteous, then it's good to have a love for another person. But you may be together. You don't only have to sacrifice, but that you support each other. That you love each other as brother and sister. It doesn't always look like this, but that you care for each other and that you love each other and that you are willing to protect each other. And you put your arm around each other and you do things together, and then you go from this idea of philia, you spend time together. And it's also having more respect for the other person than for yourself, and that you find them more important than yourself. Washing feet, for example, and I was thinking about this, and then I was with the leadership and I said, and we're going to start doing the feet washing, and maybe some people are sit here and say, yeah, that's a good idea. But actually, this is something Jesus did that was very intimate. And Johan said, it's very intimate. This is very intimate between people that know each other very well. People that offer themselves and love for another to be humble. And he says, I can do that for you. So he's going to be washing my feet. But it's not something you do in the church. But these people were walking with Jesus already for years when you wash each other's feet. When they were laying at the table, then they would have people's feet, so they had to wash each feet. If you want to be my student, then you have to be humble. And this is the new exercise that I give you. This is the new task that I give you. Love each other. Love each other just as much as I love you. And that is how they will know that you are my students. Sometimes I'm an elephant. I just tromp all over the people because I'm so enthusiastic, and people need to put the brakes on. Enthusiasm doesn't mean being so quick, but this enthusiasm is about that we take people along when they are difficult. That through the Holy Spirit we are touched when we pray for Shaq, that we live with Shaq, and that we jump for him, for Konali, for Marcel. That we will be there for them. That we are enthusiastic for them when things are difficult, when you are sad, and when you are sick. when you are down because of life. Maybe things aren't right in your marriage, but through the Holy Spirit, that we may carry people and that we say, come on, you can do this, you got this. But together we are brothers and sisters, and we want to help you, we want to pray for you, to put the arm around us and take us along, to touch each other's hearts, so that we may be there for him and the people around him. Fire of the Holy Spirit will come and lead to humble, being humble, but you will reject yourself and you will love another person. When someone that the Holy Spirit will make you enthusiastic, and you can find that in the last part at verse 11, that together you may serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Serve the Lord. In Romans 5, it says that God gives us the power to continue. He encourages us to continue. He will show us that together you will be one and you will serve him with your whole heart, just like Jesus. How do you serve God? How do you serve God? Well, you serve God by helping each other. It says, serve each other with the gifts that the Lord gave you, because you need to speak like God would speak. If you say something like God would say it. If you serve, then serve within the power that God gives you, because then God will be praised, thanks to Jesus Christ. And all the power and the honor is for Jesus Christ in eternity. Amen. The gifts are given to you so that you can share them with others. I thought the gifts were for God, but the gifts are for other people so that you can serve God together. We serve God by praising his name and worshiping. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't feel like it. But David says, praise the Lord, my soul, and praise him. Sometimes you need to encourage yourself to do so. We can also show our thankfulness and to pray and be relational with God. To do his will, to listen to him, and to read your Bible. He gave his word to us, a lot of things in the Bible, and they took the Bible along from the library, and they said, I read it. But that wasn't the Bible. The Bible is an instrument. It's not a book. To study and to learn. He gave us a lot of promises in his word. If we want to know things, if we want to discover things, this would be our GPS. We give a lot of things, we get a lot of things from God. Give other people all the good things we have. may give all of the things that you get from God, you may share with others. Sometimes it's hard to forgive other people. Sometimes people don't say sorry. But it's important that you still forgive them for what they did to you, so that you do not carry that along in your heart, and that you live a life like God meant, that you are free, and that you don't continually go back to the things that were wrong, but that you give forgiveness to the people that did you wrong. We need to be a congregation. We need to be the bride of Christ, so that together we may be brother and sister. His love and words we should share. We share that through speaking to others and sharing about our faith. And not always that if you're grouchy, that you don't have a good word for a cashier, that you start acting out on them, but you need to speak the words of Jesus. You say, thank you. That's serving God. Being faithful is important. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to each other. Faithful by reading and praying. Visiting people that are sick. Being a neighbor. Have respect. And thankful. Love him with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and serve him by doing things for him. And I think it's difficult to be here, and I find it difficult to be here. God, what do you want to hear? What do I have to say? And I want to do a lot of things, and the Holy Spirit wants to do all things, and I want to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I do want to do work for the Lord. And sometimes it's very nice, the work you can do for the management of this church. And we talk with the teenagers, and they share with God's goodness, and we want to know what the teenagers are struggling with, that we can be there for them and that we can hear them. What do you need? Jesus, to follow Jesus. Those who serve me need to follow me. And those who serve me and follow me will be recognized by the Father. These are all examples of serving God. But I thought these are very important things that we know we can serve God with. In verse 11 it says at the end, serve the Lord. Can we do that on our own? No, I don't think so. Not from on our own. And in verse 12 it says, be lifted up and pray forever, so that welcoming and help other people, invite people over and take care of them and be hospitable. It's difficult to have a door open. I have my family, things to do. We did it a number of years ago for Iraniers. I thought it was difficult, and we tried it. And we opened our house. But I thought it was difficult. There are also hard things. And if we would do it again, I'm not too sure. And you don't know who comes in your house. But you may share with God's goodness. Can we remember all of this? No, we can't. Not our own. But we can through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does two things. He does things when we become Christians, and he also does things when we are Christians. When we just become Christians, then he will work the spirituality of being reborn again, because you need to be reborn in order to see God's kingdom. Truly, truly, I say to you, if someone is not born from the water of the Spirit, then they cannot come into God's kingdom. And it's very important. This is John the Baptist, and here he's talking about being reborn. And John the Baptist said, being reborn is important. And Nicodemus asked, how is it important? How on earth can people be reborn? You are only born once. But Jesus said it is through water and the Holy Spirit that you get a new life. In the kingdom of light, you will be placed out of the kingdom of darkness and be put in the kingdom of light through God's redemption. All you have to say is, Lord, I am here. And he will put you in the kingdom of light. It's a beautiful kingdom, because this kingdom endures forever and ever. It does not stop when you die. It gives you eternal life. The Holy Spirit works that in us and helps us understand how that is. He comes to live in our heart, although we do not know that we are God's temple and we have God's Spirit. He has given us gifts. We have just talked about them. 1 Corinthians 12, all the gifts that he has given us, and that we may serve each other using these gifts. We get these gifts from the Holy Spirit. They have become a part of God's body. God showed us that we may understand Jesus lives in you and he works through you. It's the most beautiful thing there is. God, Jesus comes to live within you, and you may do the things that Jesus did. You may pray for the sick. You may go out and share strong words, everything that the Holy Spirit gives you. And he has sealed us. In Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says, after the word of the truth and after you have heard of your salvation, in him you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of his promise. He gave you a seal. He has sealed you. With the promise that you are a child of God and nothing can take you from his hand. What does the Holy Spirit do on the moment that we become a Christian, that we are a Christian? He gives us he helps us and he gives us strength. And although we don't know what we will pray, the Lord will give us the words. The Spirit will give us the words. So if you find things difficult in your life and you don't know what to pray anymore because your life is just terrible and you are sick and you are just totally sick of everything and you are poor and you have nothing and maybe you are pressured or that people are telling you what to do, maybe you are threatened, maybe you have nothing left, the Holy Spirit will help you and will come with miraculous words for you. We don't need to think of the words. The Holy Spirit will give us the word. He will speak with us and he will work with us. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 8, it says, whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to us will be different. Some people have the spiritual gifts of wisdom. And others will have a spiritual gifts of knowledge. The Holy Spirit will give you words that you never knew you would share. We just saw that Carla had something for Marcel. God works through the Holy Spirit. That's so nice to be able to encourage each other, that we may give each other words of wisdom and words of knowledge, words that you do not know, but that the Holy Spirit will give to you if you accept Jesus in your life. He will give your fruit of the Spirit, and there are a number of gifts that the Spirit will give you. Friendliness. He will give you love. happiness, peace. He will give you patience. He will give you friendliness. He will give you goodness. He will give you faith. He will give you the spirit of being soft, kind, and the spirit of controlling yourself. You can find these gifts back in Galatians 5, verse 22. He also leads us. He leads us. Where does he lead us? We are led. That they know what they can do, and they know where they can go, and they know where they should go. The Holy Spirit will show you the way for your life. And he will teach us. And he will teach us the God of our Lord Jesus Christ in all his power. He will give you the Spirit, and he will give you the knowledge to know of all the things that are revealed to us. If you read the Bible and you do not have the Holy Spirit, then you have no idea what you are reading. But if you open the Bible and you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you ask God to open and reveal to you what the Bible says, then the Bible, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what the Bible has to say to you, and you will understand and you will receive knowledge about what the Bible is about. We have that Holy Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit to read the Bible, because otherwise we do not understand what it says. We will be blinded by the law. If we do not have the Holy Spirit, we will be blinded and we will not understand that the law is actually freedom, but we will think that the law is a law. The Jesus has already completed the law. There is no law anymore. It is not killing each other. It is not looking down on people. He makes us holy because God has put us and set us apart to be chosen. We are chosen, and we are saved through the Holy Spirit, and we are saved through the fact that we believe in the truth. And you can find this back in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. How do you know that you are a child of God? It's the Holy Spirit in you that says, you are a child of God. You are born again. And this is what you receive through Jesus. You are one with Jesus. You are a child of Jesus. And a son and or daughter of the Holy God. The Spirit will remind us that we are God's children. When we have community with God, then we are one. We are one in the Holy Spirit. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the unity with the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's a very deep and very intimate relationship with God and with each other in unity. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. So that means we need to get to work. Wonder what on earth does a dog have to do with this PowerPoint? Well, this is our dog, Milo, and it's a very kind dog. He does everything that you want. He is friendly. He is kind. He has never bitten anyone. And I had to think of him because there's one thing about him that makes him very special and different. As soon as he smells something that's like a wild, like a hare or a fox or a rabbit or a deer, then he will go for it. And it doesn't matter what I say, it's just not my dog. He will go for this animal, and it doesn't matter how long I call or what I do. If I'm angry, if I'm kind, he will not come. Not within the first 15 minutes. And then he'll come back after he's been chasing this. And I use this as an example. This is how we can follow Jesus. That we may reach out to Jesus, we may reach out to the Holy Spirit, that we may put everything aside and that we focus only on him. That we may get to work go for it. You may reach out for what God has waiting for you. And Waldo was talking about that a couple of weeks ago, the moment that God, at one time in your life, that you may grab and you may go. And I think that this is one of those moments, a Kairos moment, a moment that you can go, a moment that we may reach out to the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I would like to pray for you first, that the Holy Spirit may be invited in our life, because actually, I need Him. I need the Holy Spirit in my life every day, every hour. How little or how big the things are that I do, I cannot do without the Holy Spirit, and I would like to ask you to stand and reach out and open your hands. We are here with three groups. There are people here that do not know Jesus, or we know Jesus from a story, something we've read. We don't know Jesus as our Savior. And I want to ask you that you may ask God that you may open your heart for Jesus, and that you may ask the Holy Spirit, will you give me to Jesus, that I may give my life to Jesus, and that I will get baptized, because I want to be baptized, I want to be death for this life, and that I may stand up in the kingdom of light, that I may leave my darkness, that I do not need to live a life of struggles, but I may walk in the light of Jesus. I do not need to be afraid of darkness. I do not have to be afraid of the fact that I will be tripping, but I may live in the kingdom of light, and that the Holy Spirit may come in my life, the most beautiful thing there is in life. It's something, it's hard to describe. It's the most beautiful thing that you can have, true or not. Hank went to us with us to a conference, and he invited the Holy Spirit, and he was so touched by the love of Jesus. He didn't want to be baptized, but when he touched, he wanted to be baptized. That's how it happens. That's how you listen. Read the book of Acts, and people are baptized. People don't wait anymore. The longest wait people had in the book of Acts was 3 days. It's not even a question. You just do it. It's just doing what you need to do. If we have to wait for everyone, there were 3,000 people in the book of Acts that needed to be baptized. But one wants this, the other one wants that, and another one wants that song, and my parents, and everybody needs to come, and if that's how we invite each other, then you'll never get everyone baptized. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Be baptized in the Spirit and in the water. You will get a new spirit. You will receive the Holy Spirit. That's the first group of people that are standing here today that do not have Jesus in their lives. And if Jesus is knocking on your heart, knocking on the door of your heart, then you may open your heart for Him. And you may ask Jesus to come in your life, and if Jesus will change your life completely. The second group of people are the people that are baptized, and they are saved through Jesus, but they haven't really experienced a lot about the Holy Spirit in their life. Those people may ask, Holy Spirit, will you come in my life? I would like to experience more of you, more of your love. I would like to share all the things that you give. we have seen all the things that the Holy Spirit does, and I want to have them. I want these words of knowledge. I want these words of wisdom. Come with your Holy Spirit and fill me. And the Holy Spirit will fill you. And then there are people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, people that live with the Holy Spirit every day. They receive the Holy Spirit and they know what it means, and they have given their love. And they people may ask for more of the Holy Spirit, but they may also stand up, if you are of the third group, that you will pray for others, that you may come forward and that come and pray for others. And I want to ask you to come and stand up and pray for others. And if you find that difficult to come forward, you may also just stay on your chair, at your chair, and ask for the Holy Spirit to come to you, because all they want is their children. So I'd like to pray for you. Powerful God, thank you for all these beautiful people that are standing here in front of me. Oh Lord, at this moment, will you knock on the doors of the hearts? Will you touch them, and will you leave and continue to go through these rows with the Holy Spirit, so that you may knock on the door of your hearts, of the people that say, I need you so badly. Lord, come with your Spirit. Come and touch their hearts. Come with your Spirit. Come with your love. Come with your power. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you are going to do. Feel free to open your hands and to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit. I need more of your Holy Spirit. And if you have never experienced this, give me an experience, Lord, that I may experience the love of Jesus Christ. Will you touch my heart? And if you really need to make a step in your faith, a step forward, you may come forward so we can pray for you. Paul was in a congregation where a lot of people need prayer. And a lot of people were baptized, but they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And we may touch each other, and we may lift our hands and bless others and fill them with the Holy Spirit. And it happened. So as management team, we may pray for you, and as we may ask for the Holy Spirit in your life. So I would like to ask people to come forward so that you can pray for other people that come forward. If you have it on your heart to come forward to pray for people.